This is CliffCentral.com.
He was 4 inches taller than me. As the former president of the United States, his presence was staggering. In a 2005 celebration of the life of Nelson Mandela, I attended an event where I experienced contrasting levels of eye contact, eye to eye. Dignitaries traveled from across the globe to attend. On this night, moments after the powerful lecture that painted Nelson Mandela as a jazz man, for his love of music and rhythmically enduring years of trauma. It was a lecture given by Professor Cornel West. I accidentally stumbled into a room just outside of the lecture hall while looking for a friend. In this room were two icons, former U.S. President Bill Clinton, who, 4 inches taller, looked at me with a level of intensity and warmth I had never experienced. Because I had stumbled in the room by accident, the look of shock on my face was washed away by his warmth. He was in conversation with Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Along with the arch's trademark smile, Clinton and Tutu opened their arms to me as though I were a son and grandson. Now, in the back of my mind, I was freaking out because I have no business being in the room with these two people. Because their eyes said, "You are welcome," I joined the conversation. I gathered my nerves and asked how they enjoyed the lecture. We chatted for a bit. I felt like I was an imposter. The imposter syndrome was overwhelming. They both exchanged light conversation about their recent health conditions, which I knew I had no business overhearing. But because Clinton's eyes triggered a feeling of safety, I guess my reaction signaled security, sending a message to them that I belong. And so the conversation flowed. After 15 minutes, someone from Clinton's security team knocked on the door. It was the president's Secret Service. He looked at me with a very different look, like, "Who on earth are you? You are not approved. You are not on any list." But before he could call me out and kick me out, I said thank you to the icons and left. Welcome back to the Brain and Brand Show. I'm your host, Timothy Maurice, and welcome to another exciting episode where we unpack the relationship between brain power and brand influence. Today, I share with you a previous episode about the art and psychology of eye contact. Your ability to be ready and assess and respond to eye contact, or the lack thereof, may be the very skill you need to take you to the next level. Or, in the case of President Bill Clinton and Archbishop Desmond Tutu, may be all you need to know when to get out. Enjoy.
I have been intrigued and fascinated by the interplay of eye contact for many years. I remember as a kid, the friends who were dominant and stronger liked to look you into submission. I've seen, in fact, there's a young woman, I won't say her name, but she used to be married to a king and she ran away, who absolutely hates eye contact. She says, "It is the fear of eyes." We all know that eyes are the window of the soul, but what does it mean when someone looks you in the eye? And why? Is it possible that we can have a full conversation in a modern era without looking someone directly in the eye in the workplace, in our everyday life? I remember sitting across from someone in a meeting, and they were wearing dark shades. And I cannot tell you how extremely uncomfortable I was. I remember looking at the person thinking, and actually, I was actually looking at myself because the reflection. But I just remember thinking, is this person trying to hide something? When you are staring someone in the eye, what does it mean? That's what this show is about. And how can you use eye contact to your favor? In many cultures, eye contact is not only frowned upon, it's outright banned. In Japan, kids are taught to look at elders in the narrow region between the bottom of the neck and the Adam's apple. Irrespective of which culture or country you're from, looking at or not at another person is a political exercise. Eyes are a powerful tool enabling us to not only experience the world's multi-layered aesthetic, but more importantly, navigate and elevate our position in society. When asked which sense you would least like to live without, the most popular answer is usually sight. If you think about people like Stevie Wonder, and what his lack of or his inability to make eye contact has done. Perhaps it's promoted his third eye, which is his ability to see beyond the aesthetic, his ability to write some of the most beautiful songs ever written by woman or man. Perhaps he's looking at the eye of the universe fundamentally different. We Homo sapiens are not alone in our visual peer-to-peer eye contact strategies. Chimpanzees use eye contact to aggressively mark their social position. Tragedy can ensue when one dominant animal species locks eyes with another without the benefit of language to mediate, as in the case of human and bear. Perhaps one of the most primitive uses of eye-to-eye strategy can be witnessed in the lead-up to a heavyweight fight. Boxers engage in blinkless stare-downs in an attempt to gain an advantage before entering the ring. I don't know if you as a kid ever played this game where you sit across from your friend or sister or brother and you play eye contact to see who blinks first. That's sort of what happens in this game of life. I know on the basketball court, if I'm having a really good day, one of those days where I'm feeling kind of lucky, I will literally stare down the defense, my opponent, and I'll begin to move left and right, but not removing my eye contact. And often I will take a quick shot towards the goal, and if it goes in, I'll refix my eyes on the person as to show a level of dominance to make sure they understand this is not your day and this is definitely mine. At the opposite end of the emotional spectrum, eye contact is used to communicate arguably the most powerful emotion, love. A Canadian study showed that when parents stopped staring at infants, the child smiled less. In Germany, a study looking at the relationship between eye contact, maternal sensitivity, and infant crying showed that in the first 12 months of the infant's life, mothers who made more eye contact produced babies who cried less. Everyone who has ever been in love can recall how fixing their eyes on their partner induced an explosion of butterflies. For centuries, poets have waxed lyrical about how two eyes meeting can launch love. I made eye contact with her from across the room, and the romance began and ensued. I looked upon her eyes, and boom. Okay, I'm not going to get very poetic. One of my favorite comedians who's passed away named Bernie Mac made a fascinating joke about how when he was receiving oral sex with a partner, he became very uncomfortable. And he made the joke about, why are you looking at me? And he asked the women in the audience, why are you looking at me? What are you looking for? Do you want approval? This is a bit ridiculous and off the point. But the power of eye contact can literally throw us off of our entire equilibrium. It can also communicate such powerful emotions that you feel affirmed in whatever it is you're doing. One poet named Amabilis Lucidus on HelloPoetry.com linked eye contact to the mating game this way. Speaking of eyes, he says, or she says, they speak without words. They feel without touch. Stare a bit too long, you'll give away too much. More than 6 seconds, he'll think that you want it. But don't stare at all, he'll think that you're snobbish. I'll stare at you all day till you see what I'm doing. I want it right now. And it's you I'm pursuing. That's the power of eye contact. I've seen over and over in my engagements with speakers, with people who are in charge of engaging audiences to be able to translate a message, that if you don't gain eye contact with one or two people and you don't establish that rapport through eye contact, your entire lofty message you're trying to get across can be lost one of my secrets that I'm going to share now as a speaker when I'm sharing the content that I'm sharing here on the podcast is that I identify a few friendly people in the audience very early on. And I try to spread them throughout. So if there's 100 people in the audience, I split the audience up based on the number. And I make eye contact. And it's like I'm having a conversation with these few people. Not only does it relax you, but it creates a relationship. And more importantly, it creates an ambiance that you're with friends. And the message is easier to receive from everyone in the room, not just the people you're making eye contact with. But beyond the emotional implication, it appears we are wired to observe other people for our ability to adapt and thrive. Our subconscious minds are constantly monitoring others in order to learn, protect ourselves, and to know who we should draw closer to for community building. From the time we are born to adulthood, our ability to thrive in family, school, careers relies largely on gazing upon another, assessing and maneuvering correctly or accordingly. In fact, the key challenge of disorders such as autism is the discomfort faced when attempting eye contact. Over the next week or so, I want you to go about paying attention to who you're most comfortable making eye contact with and who seems extremely uncomfortable making eye contact with you. Many studies show that when people lie, they look left, or in some cases, they look the opposite direction. This is important because if you become comfortable and you can settle into a rhythm when it comes to making eye contact, you'll be able to establish rapport and maneuver and get a chance to see what people are feeling quicker and gain a sort of socially competitive advantage with your work. But the key is to be comfortable with yourself enough to observe in sort of a pause mode. And what I mean by that is you're observing, but you also have your energy placed on seeing how the other person is relating to you. So you're not so locked in that you're not listening. You're actually paying a lot of attention to what they're saying. Because imagine if you start trying to look at people in a way where you're just looking for cues and signals and triggers from the eyes, you're going to obviously look kind of crazy. So, ever thought about why you find it so inappropriate when you catch someone staring at you without your consent? Like maybe you're in a mall, maybe you're somewhere in a club, and it's just some random person staring at you. You ever thought about why they're so uncomfortable? If you don't care what others think, like a lot of people say, I don't care what people think about me, why are you so uncomfortable with them staring at you then? Why do you care if they fix their eyes on you without moving? They stare. They lock in from across the room. You don't know them. They're large. They're wearing black. And they're staring at you. How are you feeling? It's precisely because as social beings, we understand it. We understand in that moment a measurement is being made, which determines a potential next move that could very well involve us. I want to stop here for a moment because one of the big things about eye contact is that we are nexting people. We are a people who is constantly looking for what's next. And what eye contact gives us is a clue into, should I move forward with this person? Should I move back? Are they a potential mate? Are they a risk to my life? Is this a person that I should get to know for networking, for business? Can I learn from this person? Does their style have something that I should adopt? Are they dressed in a way that everyone is laughing at them? If so, maybe I shouldn't dress that way. What's next? Once I fix my eyes on someone, can I be inspired by their elegance? Can I settle into their extraordinary rhythm? Am I a person that should move closer towards them to get a sense of who I should be? Do I see myself in them? This is the extraordinary power of eye contact. When you're looking at someone, are they sick? Should you help them? Can you see in them sadness? Is it written all over their window? Are the windows dingy from pain and the lack of health in their diet? Whatever it is, when the moment you make eye contact, you are thrust into the potential of next. Next is a space between what's happening and tomorrow. The next in life is about this sort of space that has potential, and it is extremely tangible and can move us in a space and move us towards tomorrow and move us in a direction that could change our entire lives. The Chinese performing artist Ping Liyuan spoke of the eyes as windows of the soul this way, saying, it means, mostly, people can see through someone else by eye contact in 7 seconds. I have a habit that if I meet someone I don't know, I'd like to look at her or his eyes on purpose. When my eyes lay on them, I can immediately see their true color. I've always been interested in people who wear contact lenses. What does it mean? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to manipulate? My sister has green eyes. And I've always found it interesting how she takes photos often of very close up. She wants people to see her eyes. If you look at the percentage of people who have green eyes versus blue eyes versus black or brown or whatever, you'll start to understand the extraordinary number and why it is that people who have a different color are seen as more exotic. Anytime you're part of a minority in any sort of space, you stand out. So are green eyes that attractive, or is it just because they're different? I'll let you decide that. There are 285 plus million people worldwide who are visually impaired, 90% of which are from low-income settings. Your eyes serve so many purposes and should be taken serious in your effort to awaken the world to who you are and your essence. When someone sets their eyes on you, and it's a stakeholder you care about, it's an opportunity for you to roll out your values on the red carpet of life. There is a power that you have that we are wired with to trigger and compel the onlooker to move in your favor. If you want someone to consider your power and your potential and who you can be in next, or who you can be in their life tomorrow, then being able to communicate with a particular level of contact that honors and reverences the moment is going to be important. If you're from a community, like I said in the beginning, like in Japan, where eye contact is not something that is celebrated, and your ability to have contact with a space around them that they're comfortable with is the same sort of strategy. I was triggered into this particular interest around eye contact when I met the Queen Mother of Swaziland. The protocol suggested that we crawl into a room. The funny thing is that this actually happened at a fancy hotel. I was, because of my ex, requested, who was from this family, requested to meet the Queen Mother. She happened to be in town, so we were brought to this space where I was allowed to meet her and able to engage a conversation. I had no idea what to expect, but we were told to leave our shoes at the end of a hallway. And we left our shoes and we started to crawl down the hallway, and we got to the room after about 50 yards, about 50 yards. Quite a long crawl. And we get to the room, we go in, and I kind of follow the lead of the people in front of me. And I can see that they were looking straight ahead. Out of my peripheral view, I can see sitting on a chair a woman in this very royal, regal attire. And I'm faced towards her left. And I can see through my right that she had a smile on her face. But I can see everyone that I was with, there were about five of us, looking towards either down or towards the left. And for about 5 minutes, there was this sort of royal chant back and forth between the people I was with and the Queen Mother. It felt like this royal rumbling with a rhythm in it that felt tribal. It was like, back and forth. And eventually, the most senior person we were with greeted her in English. And then after that, which is now about 10 minutes in, the people I was with looked at me and said, "It's your turn to greet." And it was one of the most extraordinary moments because I took my hands and I put them together while I was still looking left. And I pointed my hands towards the Queen Mother directly while looking left. And I said, "Nice to meet you." In a very sort of goofy American, I have no clue what to do right now way, I split my eye contact in my hands. And in my mind, my hands must respect you because my eyes can't right now. So it's just nice to meet you. As I did that, there was like a 3-second pause and then everybody burst out laughing. People could see that I was confused and conflicted. And she called the moment out and she says, "I know you have no idea how to greet me. You can face me and we can have a conversation." When you're in a moment where there is confusion because eye contact, you have no idea how to navigate this space, call it out. Put it on the table. And say, "This is what I'm experiencing, this is what I'm thinking." As the British author Sophie Kinsella wrote, "We're just looking and looking at each other. And I can feel something new between us, something even more intimate than anything we've done. Eye to eye is the most powerful connection in the world." I wish you the best going about navigating this eye contact world. If you're in a culture anywhere in the world where you have different levels of eye contact from elders to peer-to-peer to kids, have fun figuring it out. If you're meant to look side to the side, look to the side and figure out the distance and how far you should look. But get to know people more intimately through navigating around their eyes and have fun on this journey. The art and psychology of eye contact can take you very far and make this journey extremely rewarding. I'm Timothy Maurice. Thank you so much for joining me on Brain and Brand Show. We'll be back next week with another episode.
This is CliffCentral.com.